You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
We have come a long way, to use a tired but still applicable cliche right at the onset. We have come a long way from watching one film and two Chitrahars in a week and having our Sundays dedicated to Ramayana or Mahabharata on Doordarshan. First came the cable explosion and then finally binge nights facilitated by the over-the-top or OTT content industry. From Shyam Benegal, B.R. Chopra, Ramanand Sagar and Ramesh Sippy creating epics for Doordarshan to Ekta Kapoor recycling the great Indian dysfunctional family to build a soap opera empire, to the likes of Anurag Kashyap, Dibakar Banerjee, Zoya Akhtar and Karan Johar telling stories on Netflix that they cannot tell on the big screen, the meaning and consumption of content has undergone a massive change in India. Welcome to Money Control's Digging Deep, and on this podcast today, we explore the OTT concept in the context of India. We also take this opportunity of reminding you that there are two other podcasts that you can check out on Money Control. One of them has to do with the evolution of OTT, and another one that's titled Content is King. So those are two other podcasts that go nicely with what you're listening to right now. Come back to this podcast. First up, let's try and figure out why we need OTT content in the first place.
The Deep Dive podcast series. All you need to know about the OTT content boom in India.
Filling the gaps. Entertainment in the 80s was primarily a community-centric activity, a shared kind of experience where you relished with your dinner morsels of state-curated content with your family. Cinema watching was also an expedition that we called Paisa Vasool, or worth the price of a ticket, only if collective laughter and gasps of horror overrode the willing suspension of disbelief and people threw coins at the screen during the song and dance sequences. The cable boom gave us more choice. Still, thanks to the internet and access to foreign content, we found that we were not really watching what we wanted to watch. Sony was still running Suryavamsham and Bhootnath. From soap operas with homegrown vamps, the storytelling was now celebrating nagins and chudails with long plaits. News had lost information and gained eardrum-shattering decibels. Lifestyle and English entertainment channels were replaying dated shows. And yes, there were the ads. Ad infinitum. Where was the content that the rest of the world was watching? Documentaries to open our minds, perhaps? Food and design shows that did not evoke this sense of déjà vu? And why could we not watch what we wanted to watch anywhere, anytime? So yes, there was a question, or rather many, that needed to be answered, and that is how OTT content swung by and is now here to stay. And it spells big bucks. According to a 2016 report by the Boston Consulting Group, and we quote the writers here, Frank Arthurfer, Aki Hardison, Martin Korn, Eric Lee and John Rose, a digital revolution is putting more than $500 trillion into play. Television and filmed entertainment, especially traditional broadcast TV, is being transformed by the big and fast-growing inroads of the internet and over-the-top video platforms. Some $570 billion in annual market value in content creation, aggregation and distribution is at stake, unquote. Now, while those numbers that we shared with you might have changed a bit, the message certainly is clear. Content consumption habits have changed not just in India, but globally. And we quote again, OTT television, representing some $25 billion in annual revenues worldwide and generated mostly by a handful of big US-based global players, including Netflix, Amazon and Google's YouTube, is at the center of this revolution. Its impact on traditional networks, that's broadcast and pay TV, and video distributors, that's cable, telco, and satellite, has been extensively examined. To date, however, there has been little study of the impact of OTT and the changing TV landscape on the various domestic production ecosystems around the world. Unquote. Now, as researchers struggle to keep up with shifting viewing demographics, one thing is simple to comprehend. At the heart of this revolution is an audience that's ready, eager to be spoiled for choice. And what they want is edgy, fresh, and non-derivative content. But what exactly is OTT content? As the Boston Consulting Group's writers explain, and we quote again, OTT encompasses the distribution of video content over the top of traditional distribution technologies. At the most basic level, OTT is simply a technology alternative that allows for the replication of traditional home entertainment stack of consumer value propositions in a digital context. In technology terms, OTT is the delivery of video content through fixed or mobile broadband internet connections instead of over the broadcast TV spectrum or dedicated cable, fiber, or satellite networks. In many ways, OTT is neither more nor less than a replication of the traditional set of consumer video services. Although OTT mirrors the traditional video stack, digital technologies enable many distinctive characteristics and features that are not possible with over-the-air, cable or satellite distribution. These include the sheer breadth of content available, flexibility of time and place for viewing this content, and the flexibility of consumer offerings and price points that companies can offer and from which consumers can choose. Unquote. So yes, the word choice is of key importance here, because from being passive consumers, we, the audience, can now choose the time, the place, the conduit of consumption, and the duration of our viewership experience. And what increases the duration of viewership is variety and freshness. An audience that chooses to be captive. As writers Samarpita Banerjee and Christina Moniz wrote in a July article on the pressreader.com, and we quote, "With an increase in the number of internet users and thereby an increase in the demand for variety in the online video consumption space, original content is likely to be the key growth driver for the over-the-top or OTT industry in the coming years. A recent report by Deloitte states that close to 3,300 crore rupees has been set aside by top OTT players for creating original video content in the near future." Unquote. Because the mathematics is really quite simple. More eyeballs mean more money. And that translates into competition. And it is quite amusing really to see global vendors like Netflix and Amazon Prime sweating and fighting it out for your attention span and mine in India. As pressreader.com says of Netflix's first Indian original Sacred Games, industry sources peg that Netflix has spent anywhere between 5 to 6 crore rupees promoting the series. It has also already announced its next original, Ghoul, which is a horror series featuring Radhika Apte. Even Amazon Prime Video has gone all out to promote its just-released unscripted original stand-up special series, Comic Sun. Unquote. The piece cites a Global Entertainment and Media Outlook 2018 to 2022 report, according to which the Indian OTT market is growing at a CAGR of 22.6%. It also states that India will move into the top 10 largest global OTT video markets in 2022, with revenues to the tune of 5,594 crore rupees. From channel surfing to streaming. So yes, OTT players now have an audience willing to be captive because they have some control over what they watch and how they watch it, says the pressreader.com piece, and we quote again, "Currently, the Indian streaming market is roughly pegged at $300 million with 30 OTT players. While Hotstar is far ahead in the OTT race with an estimated 150 million active subscribers, it is followed by Voot, Amazon Prime Video, Sony Live, and Netflix. And most of the top players seem to have hit the consumer's sweet spot. They're all introducing an array of originals to keep the binge video watching generation happy." Unquote. There was a time when All India Radio and Doordarshan catered to vernacular content consumers who did not just want Hindi entertainment, and this they did with regional stations. These then spawned regional content companies and channels, and OTT content vendors now know that in an already competitive market, they will ignore the vernacular users at their own peril. We quote the press reader again, "Considering that Deloitte's report also projects vernacular users to grow more than 2.5 times the English internet user base by 2021, OTT players have identified vernacular content as something that will drive growth for them and have already started working on creating content to reach out to targeted regional markets." Unquote. What works is tailored content. Regardless of what language it comes in, OTT content today means more than just old episodes of Coffee with Karan and Breaking Bad. The consumers now want to be wooed with content that is made just for them. Netflix originals have already created a storm worldwide, and in India, they, along with Amazon Prime Video, are sourcing ideas feverishly that give jaded eyeballs a break from what pressreader.com calls just catch-up syndicated and licensed content. Unquote. The idea of entertainment that is paisa vasool, or entertainment that gives you your last buck's worth, is applicable to OTT consumers as well. According to Press Reader, with plummeting data costs post the disruptive entry of Jio, and we quote, "There has been a significant shift in the content consumption pattern, with more content being increasingly consumed on digital screens, which has led to individual focused programming." Unquote. And while staple viewing habits get some revenue, it is something radical and fresh that brings in new consumers. The piece cites Monica Shergill, EVP and content head via Viacom 18 Digital Ventures, according to whom between 20 to 30 million people are already disengaged from TV content. She says, and we quote, They're very actively forcing new content and storyline and disruptive storytelling because digital is becoming their native medium. When Voot started out, original content was a differentiator for us. But now, original content has become an absolute must for anybody who wants to be at the top of the game. Unquote. Voot currently has 33 million monthly active users. And even Balaji Telefilms, after dominating television content for decades and making a foray into films, have launched their own OTT platform that's called Alt Balaji. And this happened in 2017. And the piece then further informs us that they already have released about 22 original shows with 50 more in the pipeline. That they're looking to invest over 500 crores in the next 3 years says everything that we need to know about the future of OTT content consumption in India. Z5 too is about to roll out more original content shortly after breaking ground and viewership records online with their series like Zero Kilometers featuring Nasiruddin Shah and another show called Karanjit Kaur that was based on the life of Sunny Leone. As the piece informs, many more are willing to get on this bandwagon, including Applause Entertainment, the content studio from the Aditya Birla Group. The writers cite Ashok Acharyan, head of marketing and revenue at Applause, who says, and we quote, "We need new, relevant, entertaining, local and quality content that can captivate audiences each time. And with the momentum of growth we are seeing in the digital viewership, I don't think there can ever be enough original content." Unquote. Enough said, or maybe not, because the piece further quotes Abhishek Rege, Chief Executive Officer of Endemol Shine India, who says, and we quote, "Your content needs to be multi-territory and multi-season. Your product and story should be able to connect with a larger audience. It also has to lure the audience to binge-watch. Moreover, platforms can benefit if a series is multi-season. It is important to create series that are around 8 to 10 episodes long and gripping enough across all episodes." Unquote. According to Riddhima Lulla, Chief Content Officer, Eros Digital, the millennial audience in India is severely underserved with quality and relevant programming that they can associate with. And that is why, explains the piece, so many players come to serve an ever-expanding consumer base, including Viu, which is jumping into the fray with over 70 original titles and more than 900 episodes of locally produced content in multiple languages, including Hindi and Telugu. And because this is still a market where the consumption template is revised on a daily basis, there is scope for stuff we don't get to see anywhere else, including the official biopic of music maestro Ilayaraja on digital platform that's called Arey. Big conglomerates like Dharma Productions and Red Chillies Entertainment too have read the writing on the wall, and they know instead of looking at OTT content as a direct threat to cinema, it can be used as a doorway to a global audience in a rather cost-effective way. The absence of censorship and interference in content creation and dispersion by special interest groups is also a huge relief to storytellers who want to push the envelope for an audience that is ready to be taken out of its comfort zone. Television is still a mainstay in homes that are not yet technologically savvy, and OTT entertainment is yet to exert its dominance over the Indian mind space, as is obvious from a statistic cited by the Press Reader piece. The overall market size of OTT is just going to be 120th the market size for television, both subscription and advertising. But well begun is half done, and what a beginning this has been. With so much choice, how do you get viewers to stay? By choosing stuff that has repeat value once the novelty value wears off, and that is particularly important in the context of the fact that the consumer is not going to subscribe to every OTT player there is and will pick and choose a mix that has the content best tailored to personal preference. The line between original content and syndication is a fine one and needs to be negotiated sensibly along with a shrewd understanding of how advertising will play out. The game changers. As the Boston Consulting Group report points out, in addition to the well-funded ecosystem of studios, production houses and professional talent, we now have amongst us professional amateurs who are focused primarily on producing content for OTT, and many began as amateurs on YouTube or other social media platforms, but now, and we quote from the report, form the backbone of consumption on social media such as Facebook, Twitter and Snapchat. Amateurs are especially good at capturing the viewing public's imagination. Many amateur videos have gone viral and been seen by millions. This is a completely new but hugely important part of the content production ecosystem. Unquote. A 2017 First Post piece cited Spandan Mishra, creative communication head of video streaming platform that's Hotstar, at a panel discussion during the India Film Project Season 7, and we quote, "Considering the fact that more and more people spend a huge amount of time on Facebook and Twitter videos are going to be game changers in the coming 2 years," unquote. In the past, said the Boston Consulting Group report, the online value chain has included three primary video-on-demand business models known as AVOD, that's advertising-based VOD, TVOD, that's transaction-based VOD, and SVOD, that's subscription-based VOD. We quote, "However, there are now an emerging number of OTT players that now offer live content but are not tethered to traditional facilities-based distribution infrastructure such as cable or telco. For example, Facebook Live, which is supported by advertising revenues, streams video content," unquote. Says the piece in an interesting observation that OTT has unlocked three transformational changes in video content and how it is created and consumed via space shifting, place shifting and time shifting, giving flexibility and independence to the viewer. And catering to this new breed of viewership is an army of over 1 billion content creators around the world. The OTT content makers have revolutionized and even democratized news and sport by making space for multiple perspectives. And the piece rightly guesses one of the reasons for the OTT boom, and we quote, "The millennials are watching more news and culturally relevant shows from professional amateurs and amateur producers rather than from traditional professional content creators. Millennials' pro-am and amateur content viewing reflects a greater mix of documentaries, talk shows and social and cultural programs with a distinct local focus," unquote. What this level of content dispersion does is to create more than just economic ramifications. It broadens our understanding of the world. As this piece points out, there are legitimate concerns about the potential impact of globalized OTT programming on local culture, but these may be partially counterbalanced by the ability of anyone anywhere to become a content producer and showcase his or her local culture on a global stage. The output of a billion content creators representing all manner of backgrounds, societies, cultures, and points of view in a way that was unimaginable 20 years ago cannot be ignored. In this context, OTT has democratized both the production and the consumption of content to an extent never before seen. Emerging trends and some things that don't change. In an August piece published in TVtechnology.com, writer Tom Butts discussed OTT trends that illustrate the transition for viewers, programmers and advertisers, and observed that the use of connected devices has increased and streaming viewership has increased exponentially as well. However, in India's unique market, a few things are likely to be resistant to changes brought in by the OTT revolution. Writer Vinod Kumar, in a piece for RoboSoft In, recalls, just like we did in the beginning of this podcast, those gentle days of leisurely TV watching with a family. He observes that now with the flexibility of consuming content anywhere, anytime, and across mediums, our relationship with television has changed. With the deluge of digital content, TV as a device also serves as an extension of the digital medium via technologies like Google Chromecast and Amazon Stick. But he says, as we shared with you earlier as well, that TV will continue its dominance over viewership, and we cite the reasons given by him numerically. Number one, India has a huge viewer base when it comes to television. Two, largest media spends are on television. Three, digitization yet to permeate the rural markets. Four, best of regional content is still on television. 5. Paying for television is relatively more cost-effective than the scattered subscription-based OTT model. According to a recent report, says Vinod, India has a massive TV audience base of 780 million people. We quote him, "An interesting thing to note is that despite the growing interest in the digital content, TV viewership has seen a rise of a whopping 21% among the young audiences, with 224 minutes of daily time spent. One of the reasons for the seemingly contradictory trend is that audience expectations from both the mediums are different. When it comes to the digital medium, most video content is seen on the smartphones. Now, the drawback of this is the dwindling attention span of viewers, where users are constantly switching between apps. Further, most of the digital content is watched while the users are on a commute, and hence shorter versions of episodes or web series work. However, when it comes to TV, people expect longer versions of episodes. Another important aspect is television is a part of the daily family routine of Indians, and that's a place that is difficult for any of the digital media platforms to occupy at present. Unquote. The digital video growth, says the piece, is led by it becoming the second or third screen, as 97% of India is still single TV homes. Also, adds the writer, given the huge viewer base that television enjoys, from an advertising perspective, TV viewership is more valuable than a similar viewership on digital video. We quote, "One of the major reasons why television is widely consumed in India is the huge library and options of regional content it provides. According to a recent BARC report, the General Entertainment Channels, that's GEC, dominates the genre viewership pie with the highest share of eyeballs at 51%, followed by movies, that's 25%. These are the two biggest genres on television." Unquote. Also, entertainment like food for the Indian palate must be seasoned and personalized carefully, like IKEA's chicken meatballs. And hence, says the piece, Amazon Prime is likely to invest around $300 million in the Indian market for acquiring rights of Bollywood films and also producing original content. Unquote. The article also does some crystal ball gazing and opines, again we quote, "In the near future, both TV and digital video will grow in parallel. Television viewership will see a steady increase. Video OTT will grow as a second screen. Also, with growth of viewership of the digital media, we will see advertisers spending more money on the medium, though television will still get the major share of ad spend compared to the OTT medium. Ad-led online video platforms will also grow as the wireless 4G ecosystem explodes, and subscription-led online video platforms will grow as the fixed broadband infrastructure improves." Unquote. The happiest beneficiary in this mix is, of course, the consumer. But whether the novelty of subscription-based binge-watching will continue or pave the way for another model altogether of content creation and consumption in the future remains to be seen.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.